Hello, this is Brother Grant with Grace Community Baptist Fellowship, and it is good to be back with you and doing another lesson on the doctrines of grace today. Conversation I had online, it started with, you know, a meme with a friend. I believe, truly believe he's saved, and he had some friends that jumped in and tried to help out, I suppose. But, it, you know, it's that meme, if you don't can't afford a seminary, just get in a debate with a Calvinist. So I try to help them out here. You know, so their seminary experience didn't put them in the hole financially. No, that was never the intention, but as I read through, I looked and seen that one of the comments was John 6:44, where it says, "No man can come to me except the Father who sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up in the last day." That they were laughing that anybody that is a Calvinist, at least doctrines of grace, could use that as a proof verse. And so, you know, I said there's more proof verses than that, and listed several. And I had to say this gentleman responded back in kindness, and I appreciate that because most of these online discussions get ugly in a hurry with some people. So I appreciate the Christ-like spirit. And he recognizes, he told me, he recognized I was a brother despite some disagreements. And I definitely recognize them as brothers as well. But he said the proof verses that I shared, he said there's other interpretations other than the Calvinistic approach. And he told me I was half right when I said that the word in John 6:44, I told him to go look it up, that it means to drag. And so it meant more than just enabled. In fact, this is what he makes the argument here, that Jesus is saying that man is enabled. He's given the desire, the want to. Well, I agree with that. But if you're saying that universally, that all men have the desire, once they hear the gospel, to be saved, I'm going to have to disagree with that. And he said that Jesus clarified this in John 6:65 when he says, "Well, I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him." So he says that draw, and I guess this is the NIV translation, he's used the word enabled, mean the same thing. Then he says in John 12, it says, "And if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me." And so he's saying that all men, if Jesus is preached, all men will be convicted and drawn unto him. And he recognizes both of us are not universalists. So he says that enabled is a good translation. And he said we got to be careful about just grabbing the interpretation from one verse. And, well, I agree that with that wholeheartedly. I'm all about exegesis here. Then he said, "Be careful like those that practice baptismal regeneration." In Acts 2:38, and be baptized for the remission of sins. That word "for" is "eis" in the Greek preposition. It means you can say, if you look at it, say in order to obtain, but almost always it means this because of remission of sins, you need to be baptized. So that's the, you know, and not chasing that one down today, but it's a good discussion if you're into dealing with those that are Church of Christ or Christian Church that teach baptismal regeneration. So, you know, he said, I still don't understand. He said, some other passages may be questionable. I may not understand it, but Calvinistically, I don't see anybody gets that out of John 6:44. Well, it does appear that he believes there must be a conviction and a drawing of the Holy Spirit, and really I appreciate at least that in this day of easy believism. But the truth is, no dictionary, when we look at these words in John 6:4, no man can, that speaks of ability. No man can come. What Jesus said, which you taking thought can add one cubit to his stature. Nobody has ability to do that. You know, so Jesus said, "Oh, generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things?" If you just look at that word and its usage, it wouldn't make much sense to start translating all those as "may." It speaks of not having the ability. So no man has the ability to come, right? Now he said, well, but after they hear the gospel, they can be convicted and everybody will have the ability. But the Bible says a couple of things here, except the Father which sent them draw him. Now, no dictionary I'm aware of defines draw, elko, is the word, as enabled, or enabled wouldn't be wrong if it's used in the correct sense. Certainly we're enabled, but it doesn't mean that we're just left to ourselves, that he's given us ability and he don't bring it in. He which begun a good work in you will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. Salvation is of the Lord. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end of our faith. Everything starts with him. Everything will be concluded in him. He never leaves anything undone. But never in the New Testament is that definition or a sense given that I can find anywhere when I look at this word, draw. In fact, it's very interesting if you was to look at the word draw itself. It means to haul. It means to drag. In the senses that you see it. And in John 21 and 6, when it speaks to them casting their nets, they were not able to draw or haul them in because of the amount of fish. And John 18:10, it speaks of unsheathing a sword. A sword isn't enabled to come out by itself, but Simon Peter drew, or he drawed, it's the same word, and he struck the high priest's ear. And in Acts 16:19, they had seized Paul and Silas, and guess what they do? They drew them into the marketplace, or they dragged them, is what some translations have, that they were dragged. It didn't mean that they enabled them, certainly. They were already able, but they drugged them and beat them, okay? So there's a big difference when we start looking at these words. And I think that, just to be honest, I think when we look at it, the word itself, it speaks of something being pulled. It's used of a sword being pulled from its sheath, or nets being pulled from the water. Common Greek word be used of a bucket pulling water up out of the well. It doesn't mean the guy stands up there at the top of the well and goes, here, water, 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 water. No, he don't do that. He don't try to entice it to come. Come here, water, water, got something for you. Look at this pretty bucket. No, he drops the bucket in the water and he draws it up. And the second thing, he looks at John 6:65, where Jesus said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come. Again, that word, no man can, has the ability, but we didn't really discuss that. Can come unto me, except it were given unto him of the Father. Now, apparently he uses NIV here. I'm guessing because that's the version I saw that used enabled. The word is given in the King James, which I think is a better interpretation here as we look at it. Given. By saying that, we can't arbitrarily define a word and look for ways to make it fit our presupposition. The word in the Greek is didomai. Think about that, right? And it means to be given or granted. It doesn't mean that all men have been enabled to believe or given an opportunity or given an ability and they're left to this decision to themselves. They make a decision, yes. I'm not going to deny that, but it's because that God has worked in their heart and gave them a desire to believe. Now, but even if we use the word enable there in John 6:65, the context absolutely destroys the argument that he's making. I can use the word enable, and just by the context, you'd see it doesn't mean just simply enticed or made attractive. Salvation wasn't made attractive. He had to decide if he wanted it. And that's the problem with a lot of preachers today. They try to make salvation attractive. We need the rough edges. Even preach the doctrines of grace. It doesn't inhibit evangelism. It certainly doesn't inhibit people coming to be saved. We need to hear the rough edges. It's the power of the gospel. And John 6:65, he talks about context. Well, what about verse number 64? But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he says, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. Given or granted, but he says enabled. But either way, no man can unless they were enabled of the Father. You're not coming to the Lord unless there's a work of the Holy Spirit that's done in your heart. And so just, but contextually, I could use even his word and use NIV here, and it wouldn't be any problem with the doctrines of grace. But the way he's trying to define it, there is a problem. Well, let me ask you this. What did Jesus say prior to John 6:44? Because that's the verse we started off discussing. He says that you don't see that there's any Calvinistic link to this in John 6:44. And I'm thinking, have you read the whole chapter? I'm not trying. I didn't say that to him because I didn't want to be arrogant. But I say it here. We got to read the chapter. And what did he say previous to this? Well, look at John 6:37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. That's pretty simple, isn't it? All that's been given of the Father, and I believe that from eternity past, they will come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will nowise cast out. Everyone that has been given of the Father will come, and Jesus will save them all. And they're all secure. Verse 38, he says, I come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And he comes seeking to save that which was lost, to die, pay the price of redemption, to establish his kingdom, and to fulfill the promises made to the fathers. Verse 39 says, and this is the Father's will. What is the Father's will? Well, the Father's will that sent me, that all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but I should raise it up again to the last day. Now, he says, I'm not going to lose any of them that the Father's been giving me, and I'm going to raise them up the last day. Well, what about John 6:44, where this discussion started? No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will what? Raise him up at the last day. So not only those that are drawn are going to come, and are they going to be saved? All of them that's drawn are going to come and be saved. He's not going to lose any of them, none of them. He's going to raise them all up at the last day. Now, I don't know what your eschatology is. It doesn't really matter to me. I hold to an all-meal view, and I believe this is speaking of a general judgment and resurrection that happens in the last day. But you know, you can disagree with me on that. I ain't gonna fight you too much. I'd like to sit down and argue with you. I'd find joy in that, but a lot of people don't get mad. But that's what he says. Now, fourth, let me say this. Jesus promised everyone that was drawn that they would be raised up. Just as he said in John 6:39, he says again 6:44. He's gonna lose none of them. So the fifth thing I would say is, when he quotes John 12:32, then we need to understand a little bit of context there. In John 12:32, he says, and if I be lifted up the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. Okay, that's good, but he mentions exegesis. He mentions context and contextually. And what's just happened? Well, Jesus has come in as the king, riding upon an ass. And they have just praised him. He has rode triumphantly into Jerusalem, and it fulfills prophecy, just as the prophet said, fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, the king cometh sitting upon an ass's colt. And these things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, they remembered. These things were written of him, and they done these things unto him. And people were doing this, they with the palm branches and crying out, Hosanna, blessed is the king of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. This fulfilled prophecy. The king has arrived. What happens when the king arrives? Well, when the king arrives, he is going to establish his kingdom. Now again, we get into some eschatology with this. There's no way around it. And there's several different views. So I definitely hold to the already but not yet. The kingdom of God has arrived. It's not reached its full conclusions. It will at the Lord's coming. It is a spiritual kingdom that is triumphing and moving forward right now, and one day we'll give way to an eternal, physical kingdom and when the Lord returns, a new heavens, new earth. But what did Jesus say? Now in verse 31, while this is important, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Whatever you believe about the millennium, let me say this. Everybody agrees something happened that drastically disabled Satan's stronghold over the world at the coming of Christ. The gospel had been limited pretty much to the borders of ancient Israel. But now, with Jesus coming, the gospel goes into all the world. And what was stunning about John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he says this to a Jewish teacher, God so loved the world. They were expecting the world to be crushed by the Messiah, not that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What was shocking to Nicodemus here, this word, is God is inclusive to the Gentiles. As you look in the context of that, he says he didn't come to judge, come to save. They were expecting him to crush the Gentiles, establish an earthly kingdom. And that's not what he did. He come that the gospel would go forth. And there's some other passages. I'm not hung up on there. I do geek out a little bit about that to some degree. But the problem is when he looked at this word, John 12:32, he doesn't see it as him referring to the Gentiles when he speaks of, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Speaking of Gentiles being included, he's seeing all as every single person who ever lived or ever will live. That's kind of a bad way to define the word all, and that's the way a lot of people do. And we've seen that many times, that some people take it as every human being that's ever lived or will live. If he's lifted up, I'll draw every single one. Every one of them will have an opportunity. I don't really find that teaching in the Scripture. If people have never heard the gospel, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. They don't hear the gospel, they don't get arbitrarily saved, right? And it takes the work of the Holy Spirit, but it takes the gospel going forth and out. That's why he has commissioned the church to expand the kingdom. And the alleged meaning of words like world and all, and I've dealt with this, you can go back and find it on the DOG lessons, is that it refers to every human being that's ever lived. But let me say to you, the words world and all mean people groups, most often means people groups without distinction. It doesn't mean all people without exception. Now think about this, all people groups without distinction, not all people groups without exception. And, you know, we hear this. And so there's that conflict all through the book of Acts, conflict in the New Testament, Jews trying to make Gentiles conform to Judaism, mixing Judaism and Christianity, New Covenant promises, New Covenant law with Old Covenant law. This conflict is constantly going on. But we got to realize this, that that when people start defining the word by the word, they're in trouble. They're definitely in trouble. And Jim Orrick said this, he said, speaking of the word all, what about the word all? Perhaps you've heard preachers dogmatically assert, all means all, and that's all that all means all the time. Now, I know I've heard that, you surely have too. But Orrick goes on to say, well, as a linguist, I have to say that it's not a very clear way of defining such an important word. And that one ought never to use a word to define itself, but leaving all that to one side, let us see whether all means all, and that's all that all means all the time. And, you know, you think, well, Brother Grant, on people, scholars, and I had a guy tell me the other day, my much learning has made me mad, and I thought, you realize the context of that? Who the guy said that to Paul, and Paul was right, and I'm right now. So, I guess that's a good place to be, but all doesn't necessarily mean every single person that has lived. Now the gospel, because of the triumph of Christ, because he has come a king, because his kingdom has arrived, the gospel is going to go out into all the world. That's the message here. And it's going to be inclusive. And all people groups, without distinction, different Gentiles are going to be saved. If he be lifted up, he will draw all men unto him. And if you take that definition that the Arminian throws at it, that all men will be drawn to him. Has every single person been drawn to him? Has every single person been brought to him? Well, no. Well, that interpretation can't be correct. But it's still their choice is what they'll say. Well, let's argue, has every single person that in the world that's lived since then, heard the gospel and been convicted? No, that's why we send missionaries. If people be drawn and convicted without hearing the gospel, there wouldn't be no need for the church. There wouldn't be no need for missionaries. There'd be no need for the evangelistic thrust of the gospel. It happened without us. God just leave us out. He's incorporated us in his plan. This mystery unfolded from the ages. Paul said that we are blessed to be a part of in Ephesians chapter number 3. And I'm just going to give you one example of how the word all is used. And it doesn't clearly mean, and it clearly shows it doesn't mean every single person, especially here in John 3:26. It doesn't mean every single person in that region, but it's used generically of all kinds of people from that group. John 3:26 says, "And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that is with thee beyond Jordan, whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizes, and all men come to him." Now let me ask you, did every single person that lived in that region come to Jesus? Well, I know. No, but it means all kinds of people from that group, from all over, and probably means a lot of them come, but it definitely didn't mean every single person meant. So how you define a word is really important, or you're going to have some giant theological hurdles if you make all mean all, and that's all that means all the time, define it as such. You're going to have some major issues, but and it could mean people from different people groups. It could certainly mean all kinds of people. It can mean people groups without distinction, and so we have to be honest. And I feel like lots of times in this debate, people are just not honest. And so looking at this today, I don't want to say that try to be ugly or arrogant, but the very context of John 6:44, all the way around it, has everything to do with God's sovereignty and God's work in bringing men to him. Is man responsible? Yes, he's responsible. He hears it. Does God force men not to believe? No, he turns them over to their own nature. He just bypasses. He just leaves. God could have justly sent every one of us to hell. And the fact that he has mercy on few displays his glory and his grace, because he didn't have to do that. And so we ought to be thankful for the doctrine of election rather than rebel about it. And it also lets me know God has people out there that will be saved. That's encouraging. So I don't have to water it down. I don't have to compromise it. I don't have to come with a formula. I don't have to use psychology to get people to come. I simply preach the gospel. The Holy Spirit will do his work. And God, Jesus has done all his work. Did anybody help the Father in orchestrating the plan of redemption? Did anybody help Jesus in paying the price for sinners? Well, no. Well, then why should we think that we're going to help the Holy Spirit? Our responsibility is to preach it. And I promise you, the Holy Spirit will not fail to do what he is going to do. He will bring sinners in. Preach the gospel boldly. Stand up for the truth. And don't aim to be controversial, but always aim to be biblical. God bless you.